Thank you everyone for coming over here. I think you know what we're going to talk about. It's something I like. I was looking into for a couple of years. Well, when basically started with it already, but basically no one was using it, and but that changed last year when someone was very enthusiastic about it, and I said, okay, let's bring it to a hacker hotel. But I will mention it later. Something was going wrong, and later we found out what the world looks like behind mesh statics, LoRa, and all that kind of stuff. So we were both beginners. But I don't know. Is Jillis in the room as well or not? No, it's not today. Okay, doesn't matter. I mentioned him. I will mention him, and I will let him know that. So welcome everyone. What's Mesh-tastic? Well, the fun thing is Mesh-tastic is it is a lot, but basically it makes an off-grid network that we can use for many things like telemetry and sensor data, that kind of stuff. But what is good, it's it makes things our lives easier if you want to communicate on longer distances. It's bi-directional, it's off-grid, and long distances. And long distances, well, depends, like always, right? It depends on line of sight, but it's also low power. It's noise resilient, it's robust, it's robust in congested areas. It's robust when you have a good mesh network. It's not that much robust when you have no connection at all, and when people are using the wrong settings. And when you find out that a lot of people in your area are using the wrong settings, it basically takes down the network, and a lot of people just looking frustrated at the screens because nothing is happening anymore. Then it's amplified by nearby nodes when people use the correct settings. And the fun thing is the default settings in general are already the correct ones for most cases. So don't fiddle too much, don't change too much, just try it. With multiple hops, there are people measured distances of over 250 kilometers, even longer now. Direct line of sight, in good conditions, you can have just with these smaller antennas, like these small devices, these small antennas, low power, up to 40 kilometers already. Yeah, it's amazing. And there are... don't expect it here. It's a flat land over here. We have a lot of obstacles. But if you have a good line of sight, that and then it's off-grid, but you can use the support of internet. So the fun thing is, I will mention it later, that we have an experiment going on. Where we use that. So what are the applications? Of course. Offline grid chatting with other hackers. That's fun. I hope we can do that over here. So that's why we basically mentioned it. Yeah, so a lot of people brought their own mesh testing devices already. For the people who attend the workshop, basically it's a Kickstarter to get you started in chatting and letting you know what about not to do. I'm not going to do a really deep dive into everything. So if you brought your devices, I hope we can use it this weekend to chat with each other, to fiddle, to see what you can do with it. Then other things are GPS node tracking, position sharing, remote sensor telemetry. That's already an old one because that's basically directly on the possible on the LoRa networks already. But the current devices that you have out there, and there are many, in this case, I installed Mesh-tastic on it as an additional application on top of it. But that is already, it's very cheap. And you can do remote telemetry already for just a couple of bucks. This is a promise, emergency response, disaster backup infrastructure. I think this really depends. Yeah, if you're out in the woods and you have your just a couple of other nodes in the nearby that can repeat you, then you probably can call for help. But in other cases, probably the other infrastructures, it will not replace ham radio yet, let's say that. And then military are using it as well, because it is low power. Yeah, so they use it in their equipment already, or because it can also just be point-to-point connection, because you do not need additional infrastructure. Then what does it look like, devices? Already brought a couple of them with me. These days you can buy them already in this shape. There's everything in there, including GPS. If many that are just you buy them as PCB boards, and the PCB boards you need to, well, 3D print something. Well, there's plenty out there. Yeah, all kinds of shapes. Everything is. Some people already made that for you. You just need to print it, put it in there, buy the correct batteries, and it's helpful. This one is. It has even a keyboard. So for the people that really just want to chat. Yeah, at the same time, it looks really fancy, but I think for now the firmware is not finished enough. So if you want to have it for the fanciness, then it's okay. Please don't use it as a starter, because you might be disappointed. Yeah, the funny thing is that the smaller ones, like this one, it's just a small Heltec. I will mention it somewhere else as well. It's just a really small Heltec print, small PCB. It does not have GPS yet. But this is already quite helpful as a starter. And then the bigger ones, the T-beams, it has everything that you want. Yeah, and I think it's amazing to start with. And let's... Then a couple of other examples. Someone made a batch of it. A batch with LoRa. It's kind of fun. The other thing, basically the prints that have over there, someone made a different case, so that's why it looked like. And that's someone we know over here who also made some kind of a batch of it. You can even buy it if you want to, but I don't know if he really sells it over here, if it's still just pre-production. And LoRa. Basically, LoRa is long range, but low power. And the funny thing is that it is quite noise resilient. And that's the way it transmits. And that's the chirps that I will share about. But the funny thing is that internationally we are using different frequencies for it. I have no clue why. Some of them, because most, let's say, in most cases, the first three frequencies are free, but somehow they want to just 1 megahertz up or whatever. No clue. But if you know that I have an 8086 device, you can still use it for the other frequencies, but that's just a configuration. But make sure if you buy something that it can support it, because the 433 megahertz cannot support the higher frequencies and the other way around. Yeah, they must be nearby, and then you can use the frequency. LoRa chirps. The thing is, if you have normally a transmission, you have a carrier wave. And because you are just change the amplitude, for instance, of the... So it's not 0 to 1, but you change the amplitude, you have your amplitude modulation. If you just... on the same frequency, you always change the same frequency. You have your the FM, yeah, frequency modulation. But LoRa does it a little bit differently. Instead of modulating the data in the frequency itself, it changes the frequency in a certain time period. And there are multiple definitions of the time period, and each time period has an, so you have one, you could say one has a bit and the other one is two bits or that kind of stuff, but it, the way it concatenates them, it builds up the message. And it only looks at the how fast it changes the frequency, and basically looks like this. If you have LoRa frequency spreading, it can change the frequency really fast, a little bit slower, and so on. And the if you look at a mesistastic message, this is one message. It first starts with eight times this spectrum. It says it's a preamble. It's then adds two, where it lowers the frequency and sets up. That's the sync, and the rest is the message. But the funny thing is, if you transmit this way, it apparently becomes quite resilient to noise. So even if you send low power, they can still find the message in a lot of noise. And this is basically the secret behind the entire LoRa, why LoRa can work. This is only transmission. Then we want the other devices basically to help you as well, because if you have no line of sight, you do not go, don't go pretty far. So it's the fun thing is, if you have a standard device, and also for mesh testing, you have one standard device, just a client, it's automatically a repeater. Yeah, it immediately does the job for you. You don't have to do anything for it. It will do the repeats. Not always, because there's an. I will show you the rules later. But it can repeat already. You don't need a repeater, you don't need a router, and all that kind of fancy stuff. Yeah, because if you already have a standard client, it will repeat the message for you. Or at least for someone else who, because if you're the, of course, the recipient, it will not repeat. It builds up a mesh network. And in a lot of cases, if you have a case with a device with your display and your keyboard, of course you can use it that separately. But in all the other cases, you need support by a laptop or an app on your mobile phone or that kind of stuff. But basically, these devices build a network for you. And you can connect it through Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, or serial. And serial is quite fun if you do a lot of with microcontrollers as well. Although you can buy already microcontrollers, because there's already an ESP32 in there. So you can also reuse the second core for something else. And then the hop count. Of course, you do not want to repeat forever. That's the same on the network. You have a hop count. Generally, don't change that. It's most of the time it's far enough. So what it does, it sends the message. If it's not for you, at some point your device will. So if you send the message, so if it's not for this recipient, it will at a random time it will repeat it. And then the next one, and the random times will repeat it to the next one until it is received, or it's at the end of the hop count. The random times, basically the random times are based on the distance. So all the devices that you have are trying to build up a mesh network. They're already doing that. Yes, standard clients are doing that. And they measure the distance based on the strength of the radio signal. So every device tries to be aware of where the other is, and they do a calculation of what might be the less expensive route. And that's the route they would try to take first. So if they have if sent a message, then basically the other one is aware that it's currently in the less expensive route, and it will try to repeat it to the others. And then this is basically the collision avoidance. every device waits a random time. But the further away, the shorter the time. Because basically, if you want to go long distances, you want to the ones that are furthest away to repeat first. And then if any other device, already before it repeated, hears the repeated message already, it will shut up, it will not repeat. Yeah? So you will not flood the area with all kinds of messages. And then basically you hope that you are going to reach the end destination as fast as possible and go the distance as long as possible. And the routers and repeaters have a different purpose. They are generally up in the areas that have good line of sight. Big towers, on the top of a mountain, whatever. They will respond first. And because the others will hear the repeated message, they will immediately shut up. So imagine that you configure, because you think you have a nice router, but you're basically somewhere in an area that have not a lot of not a good line of sight. You're basically creating a black hole over there, because the few nodes around you that hear your repeater immediately repeat it. Even the ones that are furthest away will not repeat that message anymore. Yeah, so please keep that to the big towers, that kind of stuff, because you. Yeah. So, well, that's basically what it is. That. But generally, this is the way you want to configure it. Standard, your client. Basically, when you're on a fixed position or you're sometimes traveling, yeah, you just keep it on client. That's fine. If you just keep it always in your car, set it to client mute. Client mute means it is everything, all the client functionality that you still have, but it will not repeat anymore, because you're changing the mesh configuration a lot, and if you're repeating it on the wrong spots, it will not be helpful. And the routers, the repeaters are basically are expected to go away in the future. They're all entirely replaced by routers, but the routers, high towers, that kind of stuff, nice line of sight. If you know spots that are quite high, have a good view, maybe consider to configure that as a router. Then, I don't know how fast I go, but okay. I asked for an hour, but I will release you. This is the fun thing, mesh testing at Hacker Hotel. So at Hacker Hotel, we thought, it would be nice to have to fiddle around with LoRa and mesh testing and that kind of stuff, and it was just coming up. And just a couple of people came to Hacker Hotel bringing all their stuff, and we used all different kinds of frequencies. That didn't work. It didn't work out at all. So, Yelis brought his 433 MHz equipment, I brought my 86 MHz equipment. Some other people brought the 915, I have no clue anymore who that was. But it did not work, and that was not that much. So welcome to Hacker Hotel 2025. So what we did is we said, let's try this out with two frequencies first. So if you use the Hacker Hotel frequencies, I will publish them on the website, also in Discord and that kind of stuff. We have for now four channels just to fiddle around with. Just a chat channel, a test channel, that kind of stuff, so you can mute everything that you want. If you want to play with MQTT, then there's a different channel for that as well. So have fun. But what we did basically is, if you have your 433 MHz equipment with you, use those channels, it will show up on the 886 as well. So there's just a bridge between there. Your messages will be repeated over there. These are just two T-Beam Supreme routers, nodes. one of the on the right one is 433 and the left one is 886, and there's a Raspberry Pi in between, because we well, if you want to do this kind of stuff, don't be part of the organization of Hacker Hotel as well, because you do not have the time for this kind of silly stuff. Yeah, but we had all kinds of CTF in mind as well, and that is not finished yet. So maybe next year. Yeah. We were very creative, and there's another guy far in the back over there who also had really nice nice ideas. Maybe we'll manage later today. I don't know. Maybe. Okay. Maybe. Yeah, exactly. Well, and then Hacker Hotel 2026 and why and all this kind of stuff, because there are other people who helped me also with the metal works and all that kind of stuff, and we have a lot of ideas what we can do before the nice large event coming up, like why something bigger maybe, or that kind of stuff, even solar panels in there or what have you. Current kind of things going on is we're trying to connect multiple mesh networks together. That's possible, but what's the best way to do it? And we're also learning. But we're just trying to build up small mesh networks between hackerspaces, so that maybe we can build that out. That would be fun, because then you don't have a line of sight, but you can still chat to each other or whatever. Yeah, and the signal will just be boring as soon as you know. And well, we also try to install repeaters in places with good line of sight. There are a couple of large buildings in the Netherlands, and we know people, and of we know people, and so on. So maybe there's something possible over there. That's basically it for now. That was a whole hour in a half an hour. Yes. That's in milliseconds. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Luckily, it's not that long. It's sometimes it looks quite long because you just it's still not received. And what's going on? You're going to check your settings again. But no, it generally is quite fast. Yeah. Yes, please. Yes. Yeah. Quickly. Because this is. PowerPoint. The thing is that this is what I'm going to share later as well. Is that. Oh, come on. It's not listening. Well, I'm not going to. Can you see it already? No. Do it this way real quick then. Somehow I'm pushing the wrong button, I guess. So this is one example. I'm sharing the... I will share these channels in multiple places anyway. Yeah, but this is part of the workshop after this one. There are four channels that we configured. They're all encrypted. Basically, all the channels in LoRa in Meshtastic are encrypted. Even the long, fast ones. There are a couple of standard channels. the standard channel that is just generally it has a different name, but they have different kind of profiles that you can use. And long fast is the default profile that they already set up. So if you just installed it and it says this is the standard channel, that's the long fast channel. But it's already encrypted, but with a quite silly key. But everything they use is the configure is always encrypted. But as long as everyone has the same key, of course you can read all the messages. And these ones are just using a different kind of key. And I will share them so you can just add them to the basically all the QR codes. You can just add the channels and have fun with it. No, if you, if for instance, if you have your friends, you have just set up a network and you set up your own channel, it's only repeated here. Yeah, so the different device. It's not going to repeat your channel because it does not know about it. Yeah, you have to set up that bridge if you want it. And that's what we basically did with the Hacker Hotel bridge. But you can use your own channel, configure your own channel. And of course, they can still see that there is traffic going on, but they will not repeat it because they do not know the channel. There's one thing, by the way, MQTT is quite fun to use, but there are different ways to use MQTT. We are using it for as a support through the internet, yeah, because you can connect your devices as well through MQTT. But in the whole of Europe, you have also some kind of duty cycle. So you have only 10% in an hour you're allowed to transmit, and that's to avoid that everyone is going to flood the area. And other people cannot talk anymore. So MQTT, you can also configure MQTT to use it on your antennas, but it's much more expensive because of the overhead. Personally, I would just say do not use it in Europe, because you'll spend your budget quite fast. Yeah, it's still on a moving hour, but still, yeah. First. On the LoRa channel itself, that's the part I do not know yet. But I know someone who creates Wireshark, and I know that he's quite curious to find out. So next year, maybe? Maybe. Yeah, so I'm not sure yet. It's I like how these packets are built up, but how that... yes, it looks like it is TCP/IP, but I'm not sure if it really is. Yeah, of course, there are all CRCs and all that kind of stuff in there, but I thought that was a bit too deep for now. In real life, you know that for the channels that you're going to add yourself, yes. Yeah. Only the standard profiles is that what everyone can use. So for us, the long fast channel, that's what everyone already has on it. Those are the standard profiles you can use anyway. I just keep that long fast channel because it's quite funny. You can send a message, good morning, good night, and that kind of stuff to the whole world if you want to, at least as part of your mesh. But it's quite interesting because when I see it on the map, then I see myself, I live between Rotterdam and Amsterdam. Basically, I can see people in Amsterdam, in the whole of the area of The Hague, the south part of Rotterdam. And Utrecht, so and it's just growing the mesh network. For everyone who is sharing it, you can see it, yes. And otherwise, it's just an approximate because it needs to figure out where somewhere, a guesstimate on where you're in the mesh network. Yeah. Questions? Yes, please. Yes, yeah. But I know that you are allowed to use encryption on these frequencies on low power. And the fun thing is, you as an ham radio licensed guy, you are allowed to use much more power. But the fun thing is, as soon as you let the thing know I'm a licensed person, I can use ham radio power as well, it immediately disables all the encryption. Yeah. So low power, yes. High power, no. Yeah. This one. That one. Might be, I don't know, sure. It looked as we'll have to dive into that one. Yeah. Interesting one. It looks yeah. You might be right, but I'm not sure. No. Good one to dive into that. Yeah, we have something to do on the Hacker Hotel. Woo. Yes. Yeah. Against adversarial attacks. I'm not certain how resilient it actually is. I know that it can protect itself basically against a lot of noise. Yeah, but if you're going to overpower it, I'm sure you can just overpower it with a lot of additional transmission power. But, the fun thing is that they've figured out that it's still in really noisy areas, so in city centers and that kind of stuff. As long as the building is not holding you back, then you can still transmit quite a long side. So it's how resilient it actually is, I have no clue yet. Yeah. Hi, Chris. In the mesh network, that's I don't. I think if well, the only thing is what's holding you back here is the encryption part. So if you can, you're already man in the middle. If it will, if it uses your device to hop through. So it's, yeah. So I the encryption is then it depends. It's AES, and you can choose just a few bits and the 28 and 265, yeah, 256, yeah. That's the strongest one for now. Not that I know. No. I've seen it for internet purposes, but I've not seen it over here because I don't. It tries to figure out the most economic route, but I have no clue if it also can use at the same time the second route or the second economic route or that kind. No. Do not know yet, but good things to figure out. Yeah. It will not try to. You do not know the it will not try to send to the farthest node, right? The farthest node. Furthest nodes have an random time that are less than the nodes are more nearby. So basically, like a circle, it tries to repeat it first and just to repeat it out. Yeah, because if the furthest nodes can already receive it, and you're imagining that if the recipient is somewhere in that circle, then hopefully you already received it. You don't know, but if at least this circle is repeating it, of course they have circles as well, so it's a bit inbound as well. And that it might be just enough for around the corner. If you're not in a specific channel, that it should not repeat it, no. Well, no, it's only in a channel, and then if it's a secret message, well, then you still have, those both nodes have their own keys as well. There's something that's called some kind of DM, yeah, it's a direct message, and you can still encrypt it to send it encrypted for the other. Through a channel that they share. So basically, they if the third one in between it shares the channel, you can still transmit a message through that. That is can only be read by this one. But then you need to specify it as a direct message, because if you just drop it in the channel itself, everyone can read it. Yeah, it's basically the channel itself. Drop it in the channel itself. That's called the IRC channel. Let's say it that way, but encrypted in this case. And if you just look at the node itself in the application and send a message directly to Saka, for instance, then it's just going directly to him. Yeah, maybe using that channel that we share, but... No? Yeah. Yeah. You still need to subscribe to the channels and stuff. Yeah, because otherwise it will maybe try to transpond or repeat the whole world, and that's. Yeah. Any other questions still? No. Well, thank you very much then.